I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the toughest, most important job in the world.
Four kids. If you want to know what it's like to have a fourth, just imagine you're drowning, and then someone hands you a baby.
This is The Mom Show. It's where moms come to learn and share. Our host is Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome on into the Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. Happy New Year. Hope you're having a fantastic one. I am Lindsay Ertz. We are going to talk today about childcare in Utah. Childcare is the bane of my existence. And I am so beyond privileged in my life that I have in-home childcare, a woman that comes to my house every single day and watches my kids while I work 8 hours a day. Like, that is not something that everybody has. And I almost feel guilty about the privilege that I have to be able to have that service in my life. I mean, I pay for it, but it is something that makes my life so much easier. And I wish everyone could have it. Frankly, I wish every woman who wanted to be in the workforce could have access to someone that just came into their home every single day and was perfect for their kids. And then it made their life so much easier because it would make us all better mothers and better women, in my humble opinion. So joining me now, two women who know the ins and outs of childcare in Utah. Erin Jemison is a public policy consultant, meaning she just helps organizations who are working on women's issues and specifically childcare issues in this case do their legislation with lawmakers up on Capitol Hill. And then Marin Christensen is the associate director of the Utah Women and Leadership Project. They do research for women's issues in the state of Utah. Ladies, welcome to the Mom Show.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Okay, it is so good to be with you both. Okay, Erin, let me start with you. Give me a brief overview of the state of childcare in Utah. What are we looking at here?
That is a great question. I am sorry to say that Utah mirrors much of the rest of the country, which I actually think people might be surprised to hear. I think there's still kind of this assumption that childcare isn't as needed in Utah, that we have more families and households where one parent or adult is able to stay home. And I think the research just doesn't bear that out. We see women participating in the workforce at the same levels in Utah as the rest of the country. We do tend to have more women working part-time. So I think that might impact the need for childcare, but really what we see and what we talk about in this new white paper that we're releasing is the percentage of people in Utah who need childcare is 54%. 54% of children under age six live in families with a need where there is not an available adult to be home with children at those younger ages. So we are experiencing a crisis like much of the rest of the country, or I would say the entire country. There's not enough childcare, and where there is childcare, it's just plain unaffordable for both families and honestly for the people providing it. It's one of the lowest wage jobs that people have, and people who own childcare businesses are just barely squeaking by. So it's not a good picture.
According to your figures that you just gave us, half of the people in Utah need childcare in the state.
Yep. It really means that they have both parents in the workforce. So that's where a childcare need comes into play. Mm-hmm. and most families are scrambling to take care of their children and are left kind of without a choice or depend on kind of the free labor of family members or unregulated, probably like more affordable childcare. But what we're really trying to convey here is the need for quality, quality education for young kids. It's expensive. Just like we kind of depend on the public school system for a quality education for our children, so our parents that can't afford to not work would love that type of care and education for their young ones too.
Yeah. Okay. So talk to me. Let's just look at kind of a 30,000 foot view for a second. Here in Utah, it's no secret that we have very much Republican control of our state legislature. And sometimes that lends itself to unique policy or lack of policy in areas that other people feel like we need it, right? Childcare, in my opinion, is one of those issues where sometimes we view this as it's not the government's responsibility to provide you childcare. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps and figure it out, because this is a private issue, not a public issue. I want to give you both a chance to respond to how you view that and what you would say to that argument.
Yeah, I would say one of the most important messages that I think we can get out in the world to policymakers and otherwise is that one of the most important roles for government to play is to intervene when the private market cannot meet a need or a demand that for whatever reason, that market kind of approach or perspective that as you're kind of implying is very conservative, valued by conservatives. I would say it's valued by everyone in this country, but I think more so by conservatives, that it should really be handled by the private sector, by the private market. When that can't happen, that's when we need government to step in. And so what we're really trying to do is educate people about the reasons that is exactly the case in childcare, that it is an industry very much in market failure. That's not an insult to providers or to people owning childcare businesses. It's just the way that it goes. It's similar to if we privatized firefighting, then that wouldn't work. We don't have people who we need everyone to have access to firefighters, regardless of whether or not they can pay. And I think that's what we're finding in the childcare sector, is that if we want our economy to keep running, if we want businesses to be able to find employees, which is arguably their number one concern right now in this tight labor market, those employees often need childcare, and they need it to be safe and quality, as Maren mentioned, but they also need to be able to afford it and not have it cost their more than college tuition, which is often the case. So that would be my response, is that that's when government does need to step in, when the market can't work in the normal supply and demand ways. And that's what's happening with childcare.
Yeah, Maren, exactly. We have 30 seconds left in this segment. I'm going to give you the last word on that.
I would say exactly what Maren said. And also just considering the fact that families need more than one income often. A lot of the times, one income isn't enough to kind of afford our basic necessities these days, or even just if we want to afford an education or healthcare. Housing so expensive. Housing and childcare are so intricately linked. So if we're just kind of left without a solution here, if we need two incomes and one parent is forced to kind of work part-time, not pursue the career of choice, non-benefited. What if there's a divorce and there isn't, an education there to fall back on? It's just kind of like a real catch-22, if we were paid adequate incomes to afford kind of life right now, maybe this wouldn't be such a huge issue.
Maren Christensen is the Associate Director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project. They do research on women's issues in the state of Utah. And then Erin Jemison with us as well. She's a public policy consultant helping different groups get their legislation passed through Utah's state legislature. We're talking about child care in Utah. They have some new research out that's helping kind of shape, as we approach the legislative session, what lawmakers might do with child care. So I want to talk about that when we come back on The Mom Show.
You've joined The Mom Show. Being a mom can be tough sometimes. We try to make it easier. Here's Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. Talking today about something that is the bane of my existence, and that is childcare. I think any mother out there who has worked either part-time, full-time, even from their house, has thought through, what am I going to do with my kids? And it's a big, big concern for women, especially when they want to go back to work or they want to work in general. It is just, that's their number one concern, right? I feel comfortable in saying that it's just like, what am I going to do here? And they don't just want any solution for childcare. They want the best solution for their kids, right? Because even though this has been happening to me the last couple of days, I have full-time, amazing childcare that comes into my home and watches my kids, picks them up from school. Yesterday, she brought tennis rackets to the school when I forgot them. She puts dinner in the oven. She has done my dishes more times than I can count. That is a privilege that is not lost on me. I wish everyone had it. But still, my children are saying to me when I leave the house, Mom, I want to come. I want to come to work with you today. And it just crushes you. It breaks your heart when they say that. And you don't make it mean that you're doing the wrong thing because you know this is what you want to be doing, but it is hard to hear that, right? And so all of that just to say, we need quality childcare out there, right? We need places where families can take their kids where they know they're safe and they're cared for and they're getting the best experience. I still believe, even though my kids want to be with me, that they are getting the best thing for them with me being fulfilled and happy at work and them, frankly, getting better attention from the woman that comes to my house every day than I could give them. Let's be honest about that. So I love her and I love them desperately. So none of that negates that. But joining me now, a couple of women working in the public policy sphere of childcare, Erin Jemison is a public policy consultant, and Marin Christensen is an associate director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project. They are working on what's called a legislative white paper, which basically just informs lawmakers about what the needs are and what other states are doing around childcare. And so, Erin, I want to bring you in to give us a quick summary of what your white paper that you're releasing to lawmakers says.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks again for having us. Basically, what we do in the white paper is lay out some of what we talked about in the earlier segment around what makes childcare as a business challenging in the state, in the country. And then we go through and look at, okay, what are the different policy approaches that other states make? So generally, those fall into the categories of, I think of it as a three-legged stool. If you don't address all three legs of that stool, the stool is going to fall over. And the three legs are supporting the families themselves, consumers of childcare, the people providing that care, both owners of childcare businesses, which I think we often forget, these are small business owners, in some cases large business owners, but vast majority small business owners, as well as their employees, the people actually providing the care, including the woman who was able to come to your house every day.
Yeah.
And then third is our broader economy and business owners overall, people who need those folks in the workforce and wouldn't be there if they didn't have access to childcare. So we go through, we looked at every single state. We first started out and said, okay, what has the federal government done around these issues? And then what has each state done? And what we see is that there is a federal government program funding that goes to every state. And it's pretty complicated in terms of the various decisions that states get to make around who qualifies for that assistance and how it gets distributed. But generally, that is still really geared toward the lowest income folks in our state. And it's not even reaching all of those who need it. So we walk through some of those decisions and talk about what different states can do. But really, we're interested in what else is there? Are there solutions other than more federal funding? And what are those? And it's really hard to escape the need for state governments to really partner with this industry for that intervention to come, where because of that market failure, there's some level of government partnership and support that's provided to the industry, because it's so difficult to provide safe quality care in a way that is still affordable for families. And the normal mechanisms we would do, raise prices so that people can have better care. It's already too high for most families. And childcare providers, at the same token, are barely making any money and they can't pay their workers enough. And so really what we found is that states have found creative ways to pump more funding and really help government invest in that industry is where they're able to move the needle. But what we're also seeing is that most places are still not doing enough. That is still a vexing issue in most places. And we still have a lot of work and frankly, education with policymakers and the public in general about the issue.
Yeah. Now, Maren, I don't know if this is a question for you or for Aaron, but what are some of the solutions that you've seen other states and that you're reporting that other states are doing that is providing some sort of solution out there?
Other states have figured out how to do tax credits and or some kind of tax exemption, both to add on to what the federal government already does for families. The child tax credit, a lot of states have their own. So that, again, reduces financial burden. That's not necessarily specific to childcare, but some states also do have one that's specific to childcare. So you get a tax credit or exemption based on the amount of money you have to spend on childcare every month. And then some states are also, they're really tackling that three-legged stool. They're doing that for families, but then they're also giving more childcare business owners and workers tax relief. And if a business provides any kind of childcare for their employees or helps them pay for it, et cetera, they also get some tax relief. And that's really what we saw across different states that they've started to try and do is through the tax policies and tax codes.
Okay.
Another interesting thing to think about too is Utah's population is booming. We're getting a lot of new growth in apartment buildings and housing, and there are mechanisms by which we can require childcare be built based to meet the need of the growing population. So like there's impact fees for developers. There could be incentives for developers to offer childcare be built in, you know. That's really kind of innovative ways like this. But like Aaron has said, just one of these solutions will not solve the problem.
Yeah, that's a creative solution. I hadn't thought about that. That like kind of bridges two sectors, right? The need for affordable housing and the childcare needs. So that's really interesting. Okay, Maren Christensen is the Associate Director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project. Aaron Jemison with Public Policy, talking about childcare and the state of it in Utah. We'll take a break. We're going to dive into what Utah can do to fix its childcare situation, we'll call it, when we come back on The Mom Show.
It's the toughest, most important job in the world.
Four kids.
If you want to know what it's like to have a fourth, just imagine you're drowning. And then someone hands you a baby.
This is The Mom Show. It's where moms come to learn and share. Our host is Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in to The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us, talking about child care in Utah, the solutions for it, if there are any, just kind of this broad overview of how we view child care in Utah. I think that's one of the issues here as I talk with public policy consultant Aaron Jemison and the Associate Director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project, Maren Christensen. Ladies, I just worry in Utah that we don't view child care as a policy solution. We view it as a private solution, right? We just like, I don't know, everybody figures out their own child care, right? And because we believe that, speaking very generally, right, because decision makers may believe that, then we don't see these policies come forward that really help families with the need for childcare. And it's so interesting to me that we are such a business-friendly state. We're such a state that promotes our economy. Our economy is booming right now, but part of keeping our economy chugging is making sure our families are taken care of. And like, you can't work if you don't have childcare. Like, I don't understand how that's not correlated and how we don't see that. Is that an obvious statement?
It's not. It's surprisingly not that obvious to a lot of people. So it bears repeating.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me. But regardless, there are some solutions being proposed out there in this upcoming legislative session. So I know we have at least two bills that are on the table. Aaron, can you just dive into those for me?
Sure. So, yeah, I think it's so, I just want to give a huge shout out to legislators, honestly, because I don't know if it was because of COVID or some of the national discussions about childcare, but we're really seeing serious time and attention put toward this issue for the first time since I've been doing policy work in Utah, and it's so needed. So the over the interim, one of the committees, the Economic Development and Workforce Committee, so right in line with what you were saying, this is all about the economy and workforce issues. They looked at this issue meeting after meeting. They really delved in during the summer and fall is when committees take time to really look at issues. And Representative Pulsifer is sponsoring the committee's bill. So the bill that committee supported, that it just means that it gets priority, but they still have to go through the full process. And it does a whole lot of things. It's nibbling around the edges, but I think it's a good start for the Utah legislators to, like you said, start to see this as a policy issue and not just a private issue. So it does things like make sure that municipalities in there, as Marin was kind of talking about earlier, in their rules and regulations are not prohibiting childcare from being built in their communities. It allows for some of that affordable housing funding that those municipalities can access to be used to pay to expand childcare facilities or establish those. It does, it relaxes one very particular ratio rule that basically says ratio rules are really important in the childcare industry. How many adults to children do you have to be safe? It basically allows folks to bring in a few extra kids, especially in home-based childcare, who are just there for the after-school hour or two, which is a big need for families. We often talk about under the age of six, but really that after-school time is also really important. And then it really allows for the state, for legislators to have more transparency around what has this COVID funding that we talked about earlier done for the state of Utah, and what have the impacts been? How have we spent that funding? And I hope that that's to really build the foundation for future policy conversations around, as Marin suggested earlier, what could we make permanent? What could we put in state code that doesn't depend on federal relief funding around a pandemic to solve an issue that isn't just a pandemic issue for the state? So that bill's already out. It's HB 15. You can see it online if you want to look at the details. And we're really hoping to have broad legislative support for it over the session.
Yeah, and it does seem like that is a very broad bill. It addresses a lot of things, right? And like you say, it kind of nibbles around the edges. It just is like, gosh, it feels like it's walking around with cement blocks on your feet to try to like get any sort of solution. Like just upping the number of kids per childcare provider is like a huge step, but so slow in the grand scheme of what we need in the state of Utah.
There's some context here, and Aaron touched on this a little bit, where we're so grateful for the legislature looking at this issue, and we think it really was COVID. Like, okay, we hear you. We're going to study and research childcare in the interim. And they talk to everyone. So I really want to give them kudos. I think they kind of really, they heard from providers, they heard from parents, they heard from advocates, they heard from businesses. I think they really understand the very complicated nature of this. So take heart, listeners, because they're listening. And you're right, it is slow, but it's kind of important to remember it was almost a touche subject years ago. So we're getting there. And it might be important to bring up the Build Back Better package as well, which includes kind of a universal childcare system where it helps parents pay for childcare. It ensures that no matter kind of what you're making, you'll never pay more than 7% of your income on childcare. It's on a sliding scale. So those that are making the lowest incomes and salaries pay nothing. And then it's on a sliding scale up to 7% of your income, which the Department of Health and Human Services says above that is unaffordable.
But if I'm not mistaken, also, states still have to opt into that program, right? Even if it gets
exactly
approved,
right,
which it's not yet.
Yes. So if this passes, Utah does need to opt in to kind of take advantage of these funds and the policy. So if you know, there's listeners out there, and this is important to you, even if it's HB 15, Representative Pulsifer's bill, talk to your legislators and tell them about your experiences and whether or not the lack of affordable quality childcare has affected your life or your plans for the future. You may not even have kids yet, but you're deciding particular careers because you think it'll be more flexible. And maybe you want another career. So just keep those things in mind. Those are the kind of the stories and experiences that legislators should be hearing.
Yeah. And thank you, Maren, for putting that in context for me as far as like, yeah, it's a drop in the bucket of what we need, but it is good progress is what you're saying, right? So we should not kick a gift horse in the mouth, I guess. And Aaron, talk to me about how important it is for people to share their experiences about childcare with their lawmakers.
Yeah, I think people often worry that they need to know the ins and outs of a policy or a bill or need to understand every nuance of the policy process. And I totally echo what Maren was saying, that legislators just need to hear about this being a struggle, if it is a struggle for you. If it's not a struggle, tell them that too. You know, they need to see the whole picture and hear from folks. But I was just looking, I know the Deseret News has done a great job of covering kind of how we're seeing millennials in making decisions around having kids as they're getting married, as they're starting their careers. Maren kind of referenced starting their careers. And I mean, even just this past November, there was an article about adults and not having children and seeing them explaining why they wouldn't be having children or why they would choose to have fewer children. And financial reasons was right up there. And I think the more that we can recognize that, yes, we all might feel a little bit more powerless around some of the cultural shifts that might be adding to that. I think when people are telling us we're not going to have children or we're not going to have them yet, and therefore we won't be able to have as many or whatever the answer is, or like Maren said, I have to choose a career that maybe isn't my first choice because it's going to be the most flexible. We need to recognize that that's a really concrete financial reason that can be addressed by public policy. And while the rest of it might be things that we can't influence on the hills, on the hill at the state capitol, I think when we're hearing from people that the economy just makes it so they cannot afford to not both work, and they even if they do both work, they can't afford childcare, we have a problem, and we need policymakers to know what that experience is like for people. You don't have to know anything about the bill or any of the legislation. You don't even have to know if you like the legislation or not. We just need folks to share their experience with this issue with their legislators.
Yeah, so important. Okay, I'm going to give you each 1 minute in our final segment to answer this question. If you had a perfect utopian society and a crystal ball and a magic wand, what would be your solution to Utah's childcare problem? What would you have lawmakers do? Maren, go first.
I would think of it as a public good. So like our public education system, expanding that and ensuring that parents get the quality care they need in an affordable way, and early childhood educators that are really passionate about educating kids from an early age are able to make the wages they deserve. I would think of it as a public good like that.
Okay, Aaron, answer the same question for me. This is all assuming everyone has the same beliefs about childcare. What would the solution be for you to just, in a perfect world, make it so everyone had access to childcare?
That is a really good question. I think it has to be a really nuanced system that responds to what people want. There are people who want to stay home who can't afford to. I would love for us to be able to do that. Maybe that means paying people to be home with their kids. I know that sounds crazy to a lot of legislators, but
that's outrageous.
I would love for that to be economically possible. And if we care about kids and families, why can't we make that happen?
Yeah.
And I want people to be able to choose to work if they want or need to, and to have that position be what they want it to be. And for businesses to recognize that they need to be flexible. For some people that might be doing more work from home. For some people that might be, hey, if you could just help me with some of these childcare costs or host the childcare center at our workplace, that would mean the world to me. And then for the lowest income people, yeah, I think there needs to be childcare as if it's K through 12. And as Maren kind of mentioned, it needs to be something that the the public provides because it's good for all of us, not just for the people that it's benefiting. So I just want everyone to be able to choose what works for them and have support in doing that.
Oh my,
and it's complicated.
Gosh, that is complicated, but that sounds so lovely. Like, what if we all just had what we needed? That would be so great. I guess life doesn't really work that way. Erin Jemison is the public policy consultant. She works with groups to deal with women's issues up on Utah's Capitol Hill. And then Marin Christensen is the associate director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project. These two are both entrenched in the world of childcare public policy. So we're going to just do one more segment with these two when we come back on The Mom Show.
Back inside The Mom Show. Dads are welcome, but moms come here to be heard. We're with Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in to The Mom Show. Thank you for joining us today. Been having a fantastic discussion about childcare in Utah, the state of it, how we fix some of the issues that we're dealing with out there. Largely, the message is we don't have enough childcare for the amount of people that need it. Erin Jemison is with me. She's with she does public policy around this issue. And according to their report that they're going to be presenting to lawmakers, 54% of people in Utah have childcare needs. That's more than half of us. And yet we don't have enough, what, spaces in daycare, and we don't have enough quality providers, and there are rules around how many kids per person, per adult you can watch, which, you know, to be fair, there should be, right, to keep kids safe. But that may be changing with some legislation that's up there. Marin Christensen is with me as well. She's the associate director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project, and they do research in Utah around this issue. Erin, so just talk to me briefly about what you're recommending lawmakers do as we approach the legislative session. You really want to see some change in the child care sector.
Yeah, I think the current bill, and we talked about it earlier, HB 15, we really want to see that move forward and appreciate that it is a start. It's a small baby first step. And so in terms of this session, I think that's the main focus, as well as helping to educate folks around the Build Back Better package and how that might impact Utah. More long-term in our paper, we talk about that three-legged stool that I mentioned earlier. And we specifically say, you know, if we want to support childcare business owners, change some of these policies around the federal funding that they get to make it easier for them to get it, make it so, for example, when we're reimbursing childcare providers for those lowest income kiddos, that it doesn't matter if the kid's absent, especially in the time of a pandemic, they still had to bring that teacher in that day. And so reimburse them for the actual cost it takes to run their business rather than how many kids they have attending on a day-to-day basis. The regulatory burden of that is just ridiculous. And so there's an area where the feds give us the money, it helps the most vulnerable families. The state can make it easier for providers long term. They're doing it right now during the pandemic. Let's extend that.
Is there anything, Erin? Sorry to interrupt you. Is there anything that you see as low hanging fruit that lawmakers can do? Like, this is an easy, quick, doesn't cost a lot of money solution, but helps a lot of people.
I think all of our recommendations around making permanent the pieces that Utah has done to make the most vulnerable families, give them more access during the pandemic, I think those should be extended permanently. And tax credits and exemptions for families, for business owners, and for providers. It's given the tax situation we have in this state, which is a positive one, it's a no-brainer. It's a way to help people. Yes, it's going to cost us a little bit of money, but it's a way to really help every person that's impacted by this issue.
Well, lawmakers have already said they've set aside $160 million to give back in the form of tax cuts. And there's discussions around just an income tax cut, whether that's what one proposal says 4.6% versus 4.9%. And then the governor has pitched do a food tax credit, specifically targeting some of those lower income credit, lower income families. And then other groups out there are just calling for full removal of the sales tax on food. Now, how do we make the child care tax credit play in with those larger tax policy solutions that will get passed this session?
I think we carve out this issue. People love to talk about the food tax. Of course, that impacts every single human in a way that maybe childcare doesn't. But I put childcare right under that. Maybe it goes food, housing, childcare, but it's up there. It's a basic need that the vast majority, that 53-44% we were talking about earlier, was pre-COVID. It's even more so now. And so how do we've got to carve out some of that relief for the folks who are begging for help around this issue, which impacts people across the economic spectrum.
Yeah, so important. Okay, Maren, joining me now, Maren Christensen with the Utah Women in Leadership Project. I know you guys are working on a symposium around childcare. Tell me what this is all about.
This is really exciting. It's next Tuesday, January 11th. We're going to have three panels. The first panel will talk about childcare as a business issue. So we'll have some CEOs talking about how they've kind of forwarded the childcare benefit to their employees because they understand that it helps attract and retain employees and diversifies their employee, their workforce. The second panel is co-moderated by our Erin Jemison right here. It's public policy progress on childcare. So we'll be kind of doing more of a deep dive with policy experts around kind of what we've been talking about today. And then panel three, childcare challenges, strategies, and solutions, kind of like what we've been talking about today, like the many different ways that we could be helping this issue, what we've seen elsewhere, what we could be doing. It's just going to be a great like deep dive with community experts.
And
that again is January 11th from 1 to 3. So a little bit in the afternoon, just go to utwomen.org, go to our events page and you can register.
So anyone can come, right? It's open to the public?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. utwomen.org. Very cool. I want to come. That would be awesome. Erin Jemison, public policy consultant, and Maren Christensen, the associate director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project. Thank you for talking about all these child care issues in Utah today. Such invaluable information. I appreciate your time. And we'll be back next week on The Mom Show.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.